So that's the valve in question. In your packet, you will see that we went out and asked for three quotes on rehab. The first is from R&B, who says that they won't work on this valve. They recommend replacement. Of course, since we have to extend the pipe, that part of the cost would be there as well. The valve is only $1,200. The $10,000 is the labor involved and the welding and the maneuvering of those things. SKE Construction, they also declined to give any quote whatsoever on any repair. They had given us a bid or a quote on the original work, which they were higher than R&B. And RL Utilities also here gave us quotes. They declined a quote on any repair or rehab, and they gave us a replacement quote of $12,374, making them come in number three behind R&B, who was the lowest qualified bidder. And so we've now run through those options. And I'm sorry, I misquoted. I said $1,200 for the valve, $1,950 for the valve. As I said, the valve is there for the convenience of Gulf Coast Waste Disposal. They purchased the valve already that they want us to install and reimburse them for, so that the valves are all like on their system. And so they're holding that valve now. And so this time I included the letter from them about the replacement valve. Which brings us back to where we were before, getting authorization to contract for the replacement of the valve in resolution 2013-106.
David, R&B is currently doing
what, though? R&B is indirectly doing, well, kind of directly and indirectly. R&B was a successful bidder on the water and wastewater work that's being done in round one. So they are doing the water plant, and they've done the three lift stations. And I think that gave them the advantage cost-wise, in that they've already mobilized equipment and people here to Shore Acres that are working on the other projects, so that they could give a lower quote.
Any other questions?
Yeah. I have a question, please. The this is a not to exceed $12,000, I'm sorry, thank you for the correction. And I'm seeing that their total bid amount is 10 and a half and some change.
Yes, sir.
Excluded in the project are a number of items. Are those to be picked up by the city? Are they necessary in this particular project, or is the rest of that assumed to be less cost of $1,500?
It's their general exclusions, and we don't anticipate that any of those items will be necessary. The threshold of the cost of the project is below what we would require a bond. Site access is provided by Gulf Coast Waste. They have direct access, so there's no access issues. We're tax exempt, so there is no out the Gulf Coast will be doing. They'll be contracting to have that work done. The bypass sewage flow, I addressed it. It will, that would, if we had to do that, would significantly increase the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic control is unnecessary. It's in a controlled site. It's controlled access, only available by Gulf Coast Waste Disposal. It's in there, on their property, at their channel. And all of the other devices that are on there, the valve actuators, there are no valve actuators, but there are testing valves and there for sampling valves, so that they can make sure we don't have any industrial waste in our flow stream, and they have some other metering valves there and equipment, all of which is Gulf Coast, none of which is ours, so they won't be doing any work on that.
And then the blasting and coating?
The blasting and coating, that would be the only one that might have something, but Gulf Coast is going to be doing the coating of the new piping that they're putting in, and at this point it looks like they'll do all of it at the same time, and we won't incur any costs there.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any questions from residents? Nancy, can you please come up here?
I just have a couple of questions as far as the original contract. Maybe, yeah, that does not look good, but it's not supposed to look good after 30 years. But as far as the original way things were handled with our contract with Gulf Coast, being as we have a piece of equipment on their property, I would like to know in this reinvestment, let's call it, are we going to have free and easy access? Who is responsible for exercising the valve? Because it's actually mandatory. Well, it's suggested that you exercise that valve at the end of the fourth main quarterly. Who has been doing that? Who has been also maintaining the paint coating, and it was above ground exposed elements? I mean, things such as this is something that we need to have a discussion and a serious discussion with them so that we don't come back here. I know it's 30 years, but for goodness sake, let's not do this again. If they've got access, then they need to be responsible for exercising the valve, for making sure that it is appropriately painted, being that it is exposed to the elements as above ground. And now that they want us to pay to have it raised, they really need to paint a little bit more. So I would like to make sure that all of that is in very, very, very understandable terms to them, unless our people in public works can just walk up in there and take care of it themselves. Every 3 months, open and close. If that can't happen, then we really need to have that dialogue with them. And that's all.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, so what is the doing of council on
this?
I think we
need to buy a valve.
Why don't
you
do it?
Motion to approve resolution 2013-107.
So Dana made the motion and Connie seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 8.3, discussion and possible action regarding the expiration of Hurricane Ike temporary housing permit issued under Ordinance 2010-58 that was extended to expire on April 8, 2013. First one is 126 Oakdale. David, did they come in for a... No. An occupancy permit yet?
No, not that I'm aware of.
They are really, really close. There's a letter in your packet. She thinks that they'll be in 30 days. And they can move through. That would be my recommendation. Is that okay with council?
Meeting on May.
Yeah, they, right. They didn't indicate they're going to remove the trailer in 30 days, just that they're going to be in the house.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see it here, but that was my...
It's in the email. There's two. There's a letter from them, and there's an email from them. In the bottom of the email.
That's what it says. This little trailer will remain on our property.
So would May 13th be more appropriate then? About 35 days.
What's today? The 8th? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
65.
Motion to extend permit number 10, 126 Hotel to May 13th, 2013.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Stephen. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one is 518 Metal Lawn. Now, that one should have been in for a permit to construct. Do you have anything, David?
Not that I was made aware of.
I talked to Harris County Recovers, and she signed all the paperwork. She's gone to Rexboro. So then my only question would be, why isn't the contract coming through? When I talked to Harris County Recovers, they thought that the house should be done in 8 months. But she is through the process.
She's done her part.
Yeah, she's done her part. She's just, and actually, Harris County Recovers has done their part. So I would hope that we get a permit to construct the house. So
she has to put the refinery.
No, but I believe I told her I was going to talk to her and because when I spoke with her, she said she done everything. And she was talking for what I said, and I've done everything I've done. So, I don't know how council feels about getting her extension, either a temporary one to take a permit something or a more formal.
Has anybody had discussion with Harris County Recovers to verify that the paperwork has been completed properly and filled in? And that was in the affirmative?
Yes, it was.
Was this communication set via certified mail or was it through regular mail?
Regular mail.
You're talking about the communication to me or communication to the homeowner?
No, I apologize. The communication to the homeowner sent on April 2nd, which is requesting... In which we had requested the information be provided at today's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not received anything from that person, but...
That's all we
need to have. Yeah, I guess, but either way, if you wanted to just have her bring something in, or if my report is sufficient, whatever you wish.
On her part, she doesn't have any control, as so many people have figured out, over Harris County Recovers with contractors. So as long as she's done her part, I'm happy that she fulfilled the spirit, even though the results are less than desirable at this point.
Yeah, and please forgive my ignorance there. I'm not certain how one selects a contractor, if that's Harris County Recovers that actually performs that action, and if that's the case, then...
I think there's good middle of the road here. You know what we could do? We could just about a month's extension if they show me the permit.
I'm all for progress. I just wanted to make sure that I understood the sequence of events and that it's not the homeowner who's... delayed. It's rather a government agency providing the delay, and that I can understand. With that being said, I have every confidence that we can extend the permit and expect to see, or hopefully expect to see, even though the Harris County Recovers is the folks selecting the contractor, that there will be progress. And that's the key thing.
I have a hunch I may know what's going on there, because when her contract was originally approved, she was using a developer, I think it was Compass, and they no longer are working for Harris County Recovers. I don't know if they were let go or if they are no longer in business. So her building switched to Pickering. I'm wondering if that's part of the delay, but that's my speculation. I do not know that. So whatever council is more comfortable with, they just want to wait a month.
Will you allow
comment? And see? Yes, please.
David Jennings, 1017 West Forest Avenue. I hate to be a
the bad guy here again. But again, there's been no progress on this home in 4.5 years. And you just said that she has even, this person, I'm sorry, I don't know if it's she or he, this person has not even responded to a letter from the city a week ago. I can tell you that from HCAD before the storm, the property values were $140-something thousand. And right now they're at $29,000. That's costing the city about $1,000 a year. And they're getting full services from the city. And they're not doing any, there is no progress at this home. I don't know if you've been by there, but I have. There's no progress whatsoever. They have a little sitting area where they sit out there and cook and barbecue and have, you know, I'm sorry that people have depended on the government in this case, I guess, to build, rebuild their house. I don't know. But I know that they're costing the taxpayers Shore Acres money. And to extend it for any period of time is to my mind, ridiculous. But, you know, if you want to give her until the next town, sorry, if you want to give the property owner until the next council meeting time to respond, that's fine. But I don't, why would you give them a 30-day extension when they haven't responded for 4.5 years? That makes no sense to me. I'm just saying. So that's $1,000 a year out of our money. Thank you.
I think in this case it's more of a Paris County Recovers issue. They're also going to demolish the house, which we really do want. But again, if you just want to.
She has been in verbal contact. She hasn't just.
She hasn't fallen off.
You know, ignored it.
But again, it's $1,000 a year for 5 years now.
I don't have a problem extending it, provided that we see some sort of proof of whether it be from Harris County Recovers, which I'm sure they could easily supply us a letterhead stating where the progress is with that particular permit, or from the property owner themselves in some fashion, providing us with some sort of proof of progress.
I think that we should give them the same opportunity to have other with Harris County Recovery. It's been a long process, so I feel that she deserves that. She's so good. And I know she had a struggle with this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you like to make that May 13th so that they're in step?
If I may, Mayor, is there a possibility to amend that motion to include the provision of providing that documentation update?
How about proof of progress or something along those lines?
A letter from Harris County. Exactly. Her part is on the contract.
Yes, please.
It's amended to provide update on progress.
I'll second that.
Okay, seconded by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
No question. I noticed that on point that I knew that there was no connection to what the sound was with and that it was expired. Can we ask to have it on the next agenda? Because it is expired and it's time to go forward with that.
Do we need to, or have we already started the enforcement?
We've started the enforcement, but you're certainly welcome to have it on the agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to find out what the progress on that is.
Can I ask where it is on the... Well,
it's not specifically on the agenda.
Okay. So that's the item 8.4, consideration and action to approve rescheduling first regular city council meeting of May. Yeah, well, it's really the second city council meeting. for Memorial Day, May 27th, to Tuesday, May 28th. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.5, discussion and possible action regarding the city's administrative policy related to the placement of political campaign signs. I received a lot of questions regarding our code, so I thought it would be a good idea to bring it before council. Our code does not specifically identify the placement of signs. I didn't know if council wanted to include that in the code or not. I think I sent you some, and David also sent out some code information and also city policy. It is unclear. One of the questions I got was received. Do candidates need to obtain a permit to construct the site? And it was my impression that they did not. David, do you want to elaborate on your policy?
Sure. A permit is not required for sign. Under our ordinances, under the city code, we would deal with a political or campaign sign as a personal sign. It's pretty clear from reading what we have in the code, it doesn't really anticipate addressing campaign signs or political signs. That being the case, we exercise some discretion, like you do on a lot of classy issues, and give a little latitude. We certainly don't want to infringe on anyone's First Amendment rights, and we don't want to be heavy-handed in that. So it is a discretion in the application of the code. We do that not just for campaigns. I don't want it to sound like it only has to do with political campaigns. Public Works has given direction on dealing with signs that put out. If you put a sign out that you're going to read tarot cards or you're buying Pez dispensers and you put it in the median, we'll pull the sign up every morning. Public Works will pull the sign up, take it away. There are real estate signs that are put in violation that are picked up routinely and brought to Public Works. However, if you put a sign up for registering for Little League or registering for some children's youth sport, you put it in the median, we'll let that go for a reasonable amount of time. It's a violation of our code. We could pick it up. That's part of the discretion. For the campaign signs, I thought with the questions that came up that it would be good for me to put in writing an administrative policy for our folks to use as a guideline of what we're going to aggressively enforce and what we're not going to aggressively enforce. That's not to say that someone couldn't come up here and file a complaint with the municipal court for violating the code. That could certainly happen. We just aren't going to get in the middle of that. So we're holding the line here, and this is my work. This is what my direction to Public Works is, that we are going to provide this leeway, but we're not going to yield on some of the basic things that are in the sign ordinance, such as a limitation of 9 square feet. I think that the code clearly does not anticipate wanting people to put 4x8 campaign signs up in their yard. And so the yard signs that we see, and this isn't just city elections, this is a school board, this is state offices, this is districts, this is also not necessarily even campaigns for individuals, but for issues or even political statements, if you will, during that time period, that during this period of time, 60 days before an election, that we will relax those requirements. As long as the signs are 9 square feet each or less, that they're not more than 5 feet above ground, which is also a requirement in the code, they don't interfere with traffic visibility, create a traffic hazard. And they're reasonably not in the street right-of-way, which means not in the median, not in front of City Hall, basically they are on the house side of a ditch, so they're not in the ditch. They're not on between the ditch and the street. If you put a sign in the ditch for between the ditch and the street, we'll pick it up. We'll take it over to Public Works and you can come retrieve it. The candidate can retrieve it, or the person whose yard it was near can retrieve it. But that's street right-of-way. And we don't want those signs to be in culverts. We don't want them to create other issues or problems. And so we'll pick those up. With that said, if you want to put one sign for every candidate and you want to put 9 signs in your yard this year, you're more than welcome to do that. Technically, is it a violation of our sign ordinance? Yes. The sign code? Yes. Are we going to say or do anything about it? No. If you put those signs between the ditch or in the ditch and the street, we'll pick them up. And so this policy has been circulated to the police department, to Public Works. I've mailed a copy to all the candidates. I see we have several candidates here tonight. Everybody got this, I presume, in the mail. So it's a level playing field for everybody. Nobody's being treated any differently than anyone else. I know in one case there's some confusion where someone thought they owned some property in it, and it wasn't. It was a street right-of-way where we just don't have pavement, but it's city property, and we remove those signs. But other than that, I think this is very reasonable from my perspective. Also, we do the election here on Election Day. Historically, traditionally, we have always allowed campaign signs in City Hall Garden. And so this preserves that as well. It just says that it limits the time. The week before the election day, you can put those signs up. So we don't have them out there today. There will be a 100-foot electioneering marker put up out there, which as the city secretary, I will put that marker up out there, and they're welcome to have a sign. And I can tell you, every year when I put the marker up, it doesn't go out till election day. And the signs that are this side of it, I pull those signs up and I take them to the other side and set them over there. They're certainly welcome to put those signs back up. I don't even take them away. They just are over there. And you can come put them back up so that everyone can have an opportunity.
So that's the week before?
Yes. In the City Hall Garden, right here.
Yeah. Is there any disadvantage to including this in the ordinance? To making it official? If the council would want to. Is there?
I would want to, first off, make sure that it is in accordance with the election
state
law criteria, as well as the transportation code. The transportation code also has provisions in it for the placement of election signs as well.
That's right. David, can you answer?
Sure. Transportation code deals with state highway right-of-way and what's visible from state highway, which in our case, old 146 is a spur, and 146 is a state highway. The election code Mr. Jennings made reference to, there's two provisions there that specifically apply to signs, but it has nothing to do with where the placement of the signs is at. One is section 001 has to do with disclosure. You have to disclose who's paying for the sign. That's labeled on the sign. And 007 is also the language of you can't place this sign in a right-of-way. And again, that goes really to the state right-of-way, is the intent of that. But it does have that language that's supposed to be on the sign. But those are just things on the sign, and that's intended so when you're campaign workers or volunteers or someone you give a sign to, that they know they're not supposed to put that sign in a right-of-way, so that we can discourage that from happening at the onset. I'm not aware of anything in our existing ordinance or in this policy that's in conflict with state statute in either the transportation code or the election code. That said, there is. Now that I think about it, if you're a state candidate, there is an ethics requirement of what period of time before an election you can put a sign out. But that wouldn't apply to our city election.
Have we had issues in the past? I'm trying to remember if we've had issues with the placement of signs in the past.
We have, not necessarily all city elections. We've had them just in terms of putting them out in the right-of-way. And it's always been dealt with in basically the same manner. I mean, we we pull them up and people can come get them. And
the reason I'm asking this question, I'm trying to figure out if this would be helpful.
Well,
have we changed it?
We'll look at it from the prospective candidate's view. And speaking from last year's election, you know, there were a couple of signs that were relocated and moved and such, and didn't really understand the reason why until I did some digging on my own terms, and then figured out, oh, okay, well, apparently I was not in compliance with the rules. That being said, this would have been a helpful piece of information to be supplied in that packet for those of us who have never held public office before and were engaging into that activity. I would suggest then that the policy statement as is adequate, provided it's distributed to anyone who applies for that election package. So I don't think it necessarily needs to be written into the ordinance, but rather, because this is a leeway type or a pardon me for getting the proper terminology, but there is some judgment made by city officials, and this being a guiding document, it gives them latitude. Whereas if you put it in the code, and you put latitude in the code, you might as well not have written it. It really becomes problematic when you put language in that's suggestive rather than directive.
So when you pick up your application, you get the policy that you
exactly. Having that up front will solve a lot of those problems on the backside. Indeed.
One of the advantages of having it done this is both leaving the code the way it is and having a policy statement is the code still stands. And so if someone feels aggrieved by what their neighbor is doing or someone is doing, they can still come up here and file it in municipal court and have the judge hear whether that's a legitimate grievance or not. Because we may not agree that this is egregious. They may think it is. And if you make this the ordinance, it takes away that ability, whereas this does not.
We just need to somehow ensure the continuity then that this gets in all
the election. Well, that's easy. We just have not had a policy statement on the signs before, and it can be included in future ones. And I would hope that all the candidates would get the packet. Not all the candidates avail themselves of a packet either. So it's not a sure thing that everybody will see it, but we can do our best to circulate it.
Anybody have any comments on this?
I like the discretionary thing. I mean, you know, I thought I was doing everything right, pulling all my information off the website. I did not know I needed to pay for it, thinking that because I did the under 500, no treasurer and all that, that everybody understood I was paying for it. But my clarification is, do I need to go around with a P-Touch and label the signs paid for by Hope?
A lot of those requirements are only enforced by their candidates. So the city's not going to come after you for not labeling it. It should, but I will say, as city secretary, it should be labeled.
Well, and same thing, if somebody files a grievance, then the code's going to stay.
Correct.
Okay. So I would say put it in the packet, leave it discretionary, and maybe it wouldn't happen anymore.
And as a follow-up note to that, I don't know if that is in this policy statement where the electioneering requirements are here as well. Is there any way we can put that in there as a...
That is in the election packet.
No, I don't believe that we call it...
Remember?
No, there is... Yeah.
If I recall, what was it, Chapter 9?
No, it's... Well, yes, but it's
Chapter 9.
It's Section 255.
Chapter 15, Section 255.
So there's nothing in chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know,
put it in there.
Okay. I'm just going to say, where do we draw the line?
Yeah. Well,
because the election code is dozens of sections, chapters, dozens of chapters, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages. So, and it all applies in to some extent.
I would say then that every year we reevaluate, and if there are additional problems or notes that we put together and develop as it grows, a
kind of a bullet point.
Exactly, an informative paper to provide the candidates with success or the opportunity for success without learning the hard way from violating some sort of hard to find code or statute.
I believe that I can pull out just the basics and give it to Data Skull. Not going to help mm-hmm. with time. I apologize. But
yeah. So for
but
signage.
So whoever comes next year will know what to put on their signage.
I just don't want the bullet points to encourage nitpicking.
You're going to have to take that as it comes, but but as we're looking at it from a new perspective, candidate who is completely ignorant of those additional codes out there, that having those additional points, you don't have to say we're going to enforce it. You just say, hey, you need to be aware of these, and I think that will go a long way in preventing additional confusion.
I think we can do it within a couple of pages so that we're not getting really nitpicky and just reference the state code, put it in the packet, and then we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, so does everybody feel the same way with this? That we should look at the policy?
Sounds like a good idea, but it would be nice to have it.
Everybody agree with it? Yeah. Okay, then I guess we do not need to take any action on this. Okay, there being no further business, the meeting is adjourned at 8:21 p.m. Thank you for coming.